have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Podcast tonight. everybody on social media, whether if you're on Facebook, whether if you're on TikTok, whether if you are on the snicker, amen, the ticker, amen, we'd like to welcome you to The Voice tonight. And it is 2022, and the Lord's been good to me and you. And I want you to know that we are back tonight, amen, in a new year, in a new way, to give you a new word. Amen. Not a made-up word, but a new word. Amen. And we also want to apologize to all of you that were trying to tune in at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Amen. It was notified to us that the 9 o'clock hour was a central time, but 10 o'clock for us. Isn't it wonderful to just be on the line together? Amen. And God is so good. So each Tuesday night, we will not be on at 9 p.m. We'll be on at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. And for all of you in the Central, you can tune in at 9 p.m. All of you in the Mountain can tune in at 8 p.m. Everybody in the Pacific can tune in at 7 p.m. Whatever time you come on, believe me, you're going to be blessed. The Lord be with you, and as he is with us. Now tonight, amen, we're going to take you somewhere tonight. Most people are afraid to go, but we have a reason for going where we're going tonight. And I'm telling you, it's going to bless your spirit and your soul, and it's going to knock your socks right off of your feet, what God want to say to us tonight. Amen. But before we get that far, let us see who's with us tonight. Amen. One lady I know is definitely with us because she was the one playing the opening and playing that good song. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I can remember the saints singing that. It wasn't that pumped up, but I can remember the saints singing that song when I was a little boy. And I'll tell you, they sung it with fire. Amen. But I thank God tonight, even with it being a little pumped up, it still ignited my soul. Knowing that I'm a soldier, got my war clothes on, got my sword in my hand. Amen. I'm so glad tonight. I pray you are in that same mode. Amen. You're in the army of the Lord, but you're ready to fight even if you have to die. Amen. Let us see. Down in the Peachland, amen, there is a man on the loose. I don't know if police is looking for him, but God is always looking for him. That's the Apostle Urban A. Whitlow, Jr. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Well, my friend, we thank God.
All right, now let me go to the other side of the Peachland, and let me see, is Apostle Felicia Flight with us tonight?
Apostle, I'm here, but you said I socks are going to get put. I can't take my socks off because it's cold outside. I mean, it's a fact.
You should be outside this time of night. You shouldn't be outside this time of night. So when your socks come off, you're still going to be warm.
Amen.
Now listen, I want to see if that fella from Upper Marlboro is on the line. I'm looking for one Bishop-elect, Ernest E. Richard, Jr. Here, are you with us tonight, man of God?
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time. Please make sure you have the right number in mind and have dialed correctly. This is not a recording. Anyway, I be Bishop-elect's altering ego and the secretary of his whole life. And he's taking the night off because he's in the middle of the truck, in the middle of no man's land, getting ready to go play in Richmond, Virginia, where traffic is backed up for 50 miles. Bless you, Apostle. How you doing?
Good, good. I hear y'all got some snow and rain and ice down there.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't know if Pastor Henderson is with us, but I'm suing her because I told her do not ship snow to the Mid-Atlantic, and she sent it anyway. Anyway.
All right. Since you called her name, let me see if the pastor, Anna Henderson, out of Indianapolis, Indiana, is with us tonight.
See, all it's right. That lawsuit. It's that lawsuit. That's why she ain't answered.
She might have one eye open.
I can
trying to get the toothpick in the other.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else that is online, I had a guest that is supposed to be with us tonight. If the timing, it was not too bad for him. Hey, man, I want to go up to Massachusetts, or as most people say, Massachusetts. I don't know where they got that from. Hey, man, but I want to go to Massachusetts. Is the Apostle Faye August with us tonight?
Mm.
Okay. Massachusetts is fine. It's silent, but right now she may be with us anytime now. All right. Is there anybody online that I did not know to recognize? Please make yourself known. All right, we gave you a chance, and so silent is giving consent. And so tonight, Apostle Flight, give us our opening prayer. Apostle Whitlow, get the scripture ready. And everybody, get ready to let's rumble tonight.
Gracious Father in heaven, we truly thank you now, God, for all things. We thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, oh God, with the activities of our limbs. Father, we come to you asking, oh God, that you would forgive us, oh God, of every sin, oh God, that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly. Wash us, oh God, from all unrighteousness, oh God, from all purity, oh God. From the crown of our head, oh God, to the soles of our feet, oh God. We don't want our sin, oh God, to keep us from you, oh God, to keep us from hearing your word for us, oh God. I ask right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, this podcast on tonight be blessed to the listening ear, oh God. Let those who have an open heart, oh God, receive the word. Allow us, oh God, to meditate on the word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Before you read that scripture, I want to lay our subject of reason tonight out before everybody. I want to talk tonight about the seven spirits of the church that is in the church right now. Whitlow, give us the scripture.
Yes, sir. Beginning with Revelation 2 and verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hath labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember,
right,
therefore, from whence thou art and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast. Yes, sir. I've read verses 1 through 5 of Revelation 2.
Hallelujah. Give us that next church, too.
Yes, sir. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Again, Revelation 2, verses 1 through 11.
All right. Now tonight, I know that seems like a lot of reading, but it has a lot of meaning. So I'm going to bring it into a simplified statement. I want to talk about tonight from church number one. I want to talk about the spirit of backsliding.
Mm-mm.
And then I want to talk about in church number two, the spirit of falsehood. Tonight we're going to talk about the spirit of backsliding and the spirit of falsehood. Amen. Let me start by saying we understand that we are, amen, according to the word of God, we are the body of Christ. It did not say the body of Buddha. It did not say the body of Hare Krishna. It did not say the body, amen, of one of these others who have been. We're not even the body of Father Divine. We're not the body of, what's my man name? Took him to Africa and killed him. Amen. We're not even part of that body. We belong to God. But there's something wrong because there's no way we can be the body of him who is excellent, perfect, right in every way, and then there is as much junk going on in the so-called church. No, we are not talking about anyone leaving God. That is called falling from grace. When you walk away from God, you have failed from grace. Backsliding is that you are faithful to the church, faithful to choir rehearsal, faithful to Sunday school, faithful to prayer. And then all of a sudden, you start missing here, missing there, missing twice a month. That's a backsliding. You know to do the things of God, and then you start leaving it undone. And let me help you with that, because somebody is fussing with me now, and I can't hear you. But let me straighten your thought out now, because the book of Hosea says, he did not say, I'm married to you, backslider. He said, know ye not that I am married to you, backsliding. You're leaving me. You're doing things that look like you're leaving me. He said, but we still got a connection. Where are you going? So tonight, according to Revelation and the church of this hour, let us begin our discussion on backsliding. Now let us remember, in this book of Revelation, it is not the book of Revelation. There ain't but one revelation from God. And so this is the book of Revelation, not Revelation. I want you to understand tonight that he starts off talking to this church real strong, real powerful. And he commends them for the great things that they were doing. And I believe still today that there are ministries that the Lord is really speaking well of. And I don't know, I could be wrong. Y'all tell me I'm wrong. But I believe God is commending the church for its formalical, amen, way of doing things. We have a format laid out, and we can follow it well, and we can really work it. And I believe the Lord applauds us for that. Think about it. When God first came down in Genesis and saw the people building the Tower of Babel, he applauded them. He said, I like this. Look how they're working together. But then he looked again, saw what they were doing. He said, oh, no, I got to stop this. They're trying to make their own way to me, and I can't have that happen. And he didn't kill them. He didn't beat them side the head. He just confused the language. And that was the end of building the tower. Let's talk about backsliding tonight. Go ahead, somebody. Well, I could call you by name. But I'm trying to let y'all go first without calling name by name.
Well, I'll say this, and I so appreciate what you bring to the table tonight. Believe it or not, we're on the same page, because I just talked about rededication and what it entails this past Sunday with the same scriptures in mind. So let's go back a minute, because these are the parts I didn't get a chance to cover because I had to move a little forward. But here we are. What does it mean to be in a backslidden state? If somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but if you and God start out together and then God moves forward, but you stay in the same position that you were in when you first came to him, Is that or is that not a backslidden state? I'm just asking.
Somebody answer.
Hello? Hello? I guess it's just me.
My
and
apologies.
Boss, everybody else don't.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ain't nobody
Go ahead.
Nothing.
Don't come for me, because I ain't sent for you.
Well, I answered the call. So therefore, your question was, if you're somewhere, if you're still stuck in the same position that you were when you first started, are you in a bad position? Yes, you are. Because
okay,
God,
how do you figure
it?
All right,
God,
well, come
no
on, let's talk
there.
About that. Because we're talking about
we're
the
talking
spirit
about
of backsliding. How does the spirit of backsliding start? What is – and see, I'm only asking these questions, Apostle, because sometimes there are people listening who may not understand what backsliding might be.
And exactly,
you know?
And I was hoping that Apostle Smith, that Chief Apostle Smith would have gotten into that, because when he said he, the callers and listeners need to know who he was who wrote the book of Revelation. They also need to know the reason of some people – I'll say give a breakdown of more of why people backslide.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's okay. That ain't what I'm saying. Please hear me, sir. Hear me, ma'am. I'm not telling you to backslide. The devil is a liar. That ain't what I'm saying.
A big one too.
But what causes a person to backslide? Is
I
it that they're
answer.
Seeing things in church that.
No, can I take it from a biblical perspective? I believe if I'm wrong, correct me. I think James gave the best description. He talked
well,
about
come on,
lust. We. He talked about lust when it has been conceived. In order for lust to be conceived, your focus has to go off of what is to what you want to be. Can we say that? Where you at, Apostle Whitlow? I mean, if lust is conceived, that means the focus of where it once was. In this case, your focus was totally, completely on God, and you were sold out. You would not hold out. You gave God everything. But something caused your attention and your focus to turn from God to something other. Can we say that's the conception of lust?
It could be.
Okay.
It could be. I think that the reality is there is an element in man that still belongs to the devil. Jesus said that because the devil is your father, his lusts will you do. So there are people who have not been completely regenerated. And so there are people who, though they are trying to follow the Lord, because of the devil being their father, they're struggling because something went wrong. They have flashbacks, so they begin to pull back. I'm going to stop right there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what? Don't stop right there, because we at least on the skateboard, we'll get to the hoverboard in a minute. But, you know, and Apostle, Chief Apostle, let me throw this at you. If what Apostle Whitlow says holds true, then now my next question is, did they completely give up everything to follow Jesus? I like Luke 9:23, where Jesus says, whoever it is that's going to follow me must be willing to give up everything, take up their cross and follow me. Apparently somebody laid their cross down somewhere along the line. Would you say that?
Well, I wouldn't say that a cross laid down. It's just like taking a good shower or bath in the morning. You smell clean, you feel clean. I mean, you just ready for the day. And you go back and take a bath that evening, and the water seems to be more dirty than the morning. And you're like, but I know I was good this morning. But something happened in the course of the day that made you dirty again.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what goes on with people who catch the spirit of backslide. And I said that purposely, because we need to understand that backsliding is not just that. struggle. There is a struggle in the spirit man that starts a backsliding.
That's why I mentioned the conception of lust, because it has to be the spirit of lust that would even draw your attention away. There are other distracting spirits, but lust seems to be the strongest and the most powerful. Because you got people nowadays, if you look around, especially in the body of Christ, and I'm going to go back to the opening of the age or the era of the prosperity message. People took their focus off of what Matthew 6:33 says when we talk about seeking first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, and all of these things would be added. We took out the seeking first, and we started adding things. Thus, the preparation or the conception of the prosperity message. People started chasing things as opposed to chasing after God. This is where I get the conception of lust from. And to me, that is the beginning of the backsliding process, but the influencer had to be the spirit of lust to draw them to that place and point. That's what I'm saying.
Before we go much further, I agree with you. But before we go much further, let me throw this on the table. Apostle Whitlow read that there were seven candlesticks that Christ said he walked in the midst of.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know those seven candlesticks represent the church. The church of God right now is being walked through by Jesus himself. And the question is, what is he observing as he walks through the church? And then you have seven stars. And then it is also called seven angels. So he's walking through the church, looking at the church, but he's also checking out leadership.
That's exactly right.
He's checking out the activities of the church, but he's also checking out the leaders to see what they're doing about the activity that is at hand. So when you say lust, there's more than lust, even though I believe that is part of the conception, but there is more than lust. I believe there's a lack of words.
There is.
Because the Bible told us that righteousness and peace is the kingdom of God. Is that do away with all this banqueting and all that, because righteousness and peace is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And if we look at it, everybody's having a banquet. Everybody want to give an award. Everybody want to. But where is God? Where's the seeking of God? When I came along in church, much like most of us on the vine, the saints talked about shut-in. They talked about spending time with God.
Can I throw something else in there? And
yeah.
I just want to throw something in that I shared, and you hit on something when you said that there's more banqueting than focusing on God. I said something, and the Holy Spirit actually said it and allowed me to share it. So I'm going to share it with you right here, right now. A lot of leaders have programs that produce little or no results. They fill their people with programs. People have busy hands. They have heavy calendars full of a bunch of stuff. But there's no real produce or reproduction of what the Holy Spirit came to reproduce, and that's souls won to the kingdom. God is more interested in your fruit than he is your activity. And a lot of us miss that. You know, I mean, we're too busy trying to create programs. You said banquets. Whether it's a banquet, an award show, you know, you can come up with 150,000 different names for everything. But the truth of the matter is, where's the fruit? Remember that old Clara Ward, Clara, whatever her name was, that Wendy's commercial when she used to say, where's the beef? The Holy Spirit saying, where's the fruit? I'm just asking. Come on, y'all.
Now, visually that, you must be kind. Clara Ward was a gospel singer.
No, I'm not talking Clara Ward. I couldn't think of her name. Clara something. I remember it was Clara. I couldn't remember her last name. I thought of Clara Ward. Yeah, Clara Ward was a good gospel singer, too, by the way. But, I mean, she's the first one that came to mind when you say Clara, bling, Ward. I guess I didn't win the prize, did I?
But let me ask a question right here, because we sort of jumped right into backsliding. But let me ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
How do we be, how are we, let me put it like that, how are we a people that get all that praise and accolades of God, and then there's a problem?
Mm-hmm.
He gave them great accolades at the beginning of his statement, and then all of a sudden he went into that backsliding. What?
Mm.
Somebody talk to me about this first part. How do we get such accolades from God before we mess up? What is it about us? He praises us before he whips us.
Letting us know we're doing well in certain areas, but there are certain areas we need help in. Major help, not just help, major help.
All right.
And that's
right,
for all, that's even for the, yeah, I mean, that's the church today. And here's another example. And I don't know if Apostles Whitlow or Flight will back me up on this or even comment. Many people went into a New Year's Eve service at 11:59 to about 12:10. They decided to shout their way into the new year. They came in cussing out their wife, telling their husband off, beating the life out of their children for no reason whatsoever, hating their neighbor, not ministering to those who needed ministering to, talking about the least, the lost, the less, and all such people. They came in with all kinds of ridiculous burdens that were not God-oriented nor God-sent, but yet they managed to shout over mess. We still do that today. You come in, you argue with your wife or argue with your husband or whatever the case may be, and then you come in the church and start picking them up and putting them down like nothing ever happened. Last time I checked, my Bible told me that if I had aught against my brother, that includes spouse or loved one, go reconcile with your brother and lay your gift at the altar and go reconcile with your brother. Why are we so busy trying to shout over mess? I don't get this.
Because practice in this religion.
Okay, I didn't hear that. Say that one more again.
It's rehearsed practice and religion.
I heard you the first time. I just wanted to make sure somebody that was listening to the radio heard you.
And I just bit my sandwich at the same time. I said
that's quite
practice, rehearsed, and they got the religion. So nobody had time for that.
Is the biting of the sandwich included? But really,
no.
I mean, let's realistically at this.
Can we say tonight, can we say that in the church there are things that we do right that give God a moment to praise us, but then there are things that he's looking at us saying, what the heck are they doing?
I would say so. I mean, you know, all right, if I'm going to say the same thing you're saying, probably in a slightly different way. He's looking at the good that we're doing, but he doesn't understand the stuff behind some of the other stuff that we do, the motivations and the purposes behind the other things that we do. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We go visit them in the hospitals. We take care of those who are in prison, this, that, and the other. We get that done. But the minute we get back in our own house, I'm just only going to go that far. Husband ain't had nothing to eat. Children ain't had nothing to eat. Cat and dog, you kick the cat in the ribs and kick the dog behind his ear. I mean, you treat your own family like dirt, and then you come and put on a face when you come to church. There's a problem with that. You look good in public, but when you get behind closed doors, I won't say the real you comes out. The you that you don't want nobody to see comes out.
All right, Winslow, what you got to say?
Well, I'm so enjoying listening. I'm so enjoying listening. At the end of the day, we are just in a time where we're seeing all kind of things within the body of Christ. We're seeing people who are supposed to be giving all of the honor and the glory to God, but in fact what they've done is they've given it to man, and that has caused some problems. And so now we have these leaders who think it's all about them rather than it's being about God. And so what we do is we lift up leaders. Isn't it amazing? And I don't mean no harm when I say this. Isn't it amazing that when it comes to the pastor's anniversary, the church wants to give the pastor $5,000 or $10,000, but on a Sunday morning you can't even get $100 in the service? Something wrong, but that's just what I'm talking about. I would say so.
I agree 1,000% on that one. How is it now? Let's throw one more in there since you brought that up, Apostle Whitlow. And somebody, if you got an answer, somebody please answer this. Where in the scriptures did it say the musician's supposed to make more money than the pastor if we're going to talk about finances? I mean, I don't see a musician going to a hospital nowhere, praying for nobody, tarrying with somebody until deliverance came. I don't care if you do play good music. I bless God for the great music that you play. But the truth of the matter is you are not the pastor. So why do you got to get $5,000 every service and the pastor can barely get $50? What's wrong with that picture?
Well, that is in the book of Nicolaitans 24:7-365.
Uh-huh. In the book of Nicolaitans. Go ahead.
But no, I'm saying, go ahead.
Not
just that, because I preached a message some time ago. Is it money or ministry?
Thank you. I like that message already.
And the truth of the matter is, neither the musician or the minister should be worried about money when there ain't no songs coming in.
Thank you.
If nobody is getting delivered, if nobody's being saved, nobody's being baptized, the argument is, where are the souls? Not where, how much is in my check. There needs to be a prayer call in the church. As saints, let's come out and pray that God begin to move and send a crusade in the midst of us. We need some souls to come in. See, what you're talking about now is where the problem, that's another backsliding. That's another way of backsliding. We have become money conscious, but not soul conscious.
Well, Apostle Smith, let's just be truthful. Let's be truthful. Now, in modern day local assemblies, and I don't mean no harm, no disrespect, but the church is not looking for souls. They're looking for holes and gigolos. Let's be truthful. You got those who came to get laid, those who came to get paid, and those who are coming to get played. Okay? This is just the time we're in. Again, because why? There's no real interest in God and what He wants. The church is not looking for members. They're not looking for disciples. They're looking for members. They want someone who's going to pay for what they want so that they can keep a lifestyle. It's appalling to know that you've got pastors who are driving Jaguars Bentleys and Lamborghinis, and they've got members who can't even pay their rent. But they don't see anything wrong with it. And then they're going to have the nerve to talk about prosperity. Well, who's the prosperity for? Just the preacher, or is it for the people of God? because I thought that God wanted all his people to do good. But I don't know. I've just been preaching for a few days, so I'm just talking.
Well, you know what, and I will, in defense of just a very, 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 very small handful, there were some who actually began sharing this, and I appreciate what you just said, Apostle Whitlow, but there were some pastors and some leaders who actually were entrepreneurs at the same time they were pastoring. And I mean, and I don't want to start pointing out names. There were some who got into the music business while pastoring, and in the process of getting into the music business, they found their ways into writing books. And from writing books, they found their way into movies, which means that, and they'll tell you themselves, that the church basically didn't, they gave a salary, but they gave the salary back to the church because of their entrepreneurship, which brought them the finances that they, I don't knock that person. I'm not even knocking the person who turns around and starts treating the doggone congregation like a bunch of dairy cows. What I'm knocking is their motive behind what they are doing. See, and there are a lot of silly people out there, men and women. I'm just saying, there are a bunch of silly men and women out there. If the pastor say, I need $500, you know doggone well, and God ain't speaking to you about giving the five, but yet you empty your pocketbook, and then your lights go out. Pastor, my lights went out. Okay, what do you want me to do about it? Hello? That's a red flag right there for somebody.
Bishop-elect, I'm not against the pastor who is an entrepreneur. I'm not against I am not against that. But my thing is, if you're an entrepreneur, then what you should be doing is looking for the next entrepreneur in your congregation and helping them so that they can accomplish more things in the kingdom. Again, we are in a time where people are not being taught how to do it. We are taught what to do, but not how to do. And Apostle Smith has made this clear when he says that the Bible, when it says train up a child in the way it should go, it is teaching them to do what you do. So if the pastors are not teaching them to do the same thing, it's because the pastors don't want them to succeed. The pastors always want them to have the need.
And you know what? You will get no argument out of me on that one, I promise you, because I'm seeing that. That's why as a pastor, I want my people to be as prosperous as I am and even more. You see, here's the secret to this whole thing. And we got to get back to talking about the spirit of back. The individual that has a heart for the people is going to want to – how many of us want our children to do better than we do? I would like to say everybody on this line. I don't want my children to be like me. I want my children to be better than I am. And if they can't be better than I am, then as far as I'm concerned, as a parent and a father, I think I've missed the mark, which means ultimately I've failed.
And that's where I am.
Go ahead.
I want to say. First of all, I want to correct the statement you just made. And I'm correcting for all leaders on the line. You said that famous phrase, my people. We got to be careful about using that phrase as pastors because the people really buy into that. I've even heard them say in recent days, I go to business church. Business don't have no church.
There you go. Well, let me correct that then. The people whom I serve. I mean, the statement that I made was not me. I'm not talking about, I know they're not mine. And I'm very well aware, and God knows I know they are not mine. They belong to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the people whom God allows me to serve.
That wasn't a beat up. I just wanted to point that out to all leaders online that's why we got a problem in the church because you told them they were yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do nothing for them. Whitlow, you want to know why they can't teach them to be entrepreneurs? Because they told the folk, you are mine. And now you can't produce a way to get out of poverty. Now you can't produce the way to get past lack.
acceptance in the world.
The next thing is,
that's amazing.
Huh?
That's amazing that you said that, because several years ago, I met a world-renowned prophet, and he was ministering in the state of Georgia. I'm not going to tell you what city, but he was ministering in the state of Georgia. And I remember that I had some of the saints and I, we went to go and fellowship. And the people knew my name for somehow, but then again, they realized that that my name Whitlow carries a lot of weight, because there's a number of us around the globe, around the world, actually. Anyway, a number of them preachers and apostles and whatnot. And so anyway, this renowned preacher, he was there, and he was there on a Monday night, Tuesday. He went through the whole week, right? And he said, I want to challenge the people of God to meet me Sunday morning with $1,000 seed to help this pastor here build a new sanctuary. Okay, so people were in agreement and whatnot, no problem. He said, now, I don't miss my services on a Sunday morning. He says, because I know the congregation that I pastor. He said, when I'm not there, there are certain people who do not come to service. He said, the people who do not come to service, those are my people. He says, people who don't care if I'm not there, they belong to God. And so this is what has happened. People have been taught.
I like that.
And that's just it. So you got people who are there for you. You got other folk who are there for God. And of course, that's because the Bible tells us to compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So when you compel them, then they feel that you are responsible for them, and that's where that comes from.
And you know what? I like what you just said. Go ahead.
Here's the second thing I want to say. Well, you get ready to say something attached to the first statement.
No, I was just saying, I was just saying I like what he just said, because that pretty much spells it out, what we're dealing with in this day and age right there.
Now, let's look at the other side of this. I know I brought it up, but it was, for lack of a better term, it was somewhat of a trick when I said he praised them for what they were doing. Really, and I could be wrong, but really, you can't be praised and then beat at the same time. So therefore, I believe that God was showing them, you know your ritual. You have your tradition pat down. You know how to carry out, almost like going to certain churches. You don't even have to be a member to carry out the service. You know what they do, how they do, how it flows. And I believe God was telling the church at Ephesus, let's remember now, Paul the Apostle, he spent a great deal of time telling this church that they need to understand the will of God and the mystery of God. And Paul spent a long time trying to tell the church at Ephesus, y'all need to get deeper with God.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to get real with God and get a sure enough relationship with him. And then here we find in the book of Revelation, here is God himself telling John, write this about Ephesus. They got a good show, but it ain't worth no money.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, now.
And some of y'all may have never heard that term, but it's a real term. You know, you go to a show, there's some good actors there, and they got nice parts, and they do well, but the show as a whole wasn't worth the money you put into it. And
mm-hmm.
I believe that's what God saw with the church at Ephesus, because he somewhat points out all that they were doing. Well, not somehow. He points out all that they were doing. And then he gets down there and says, but after you pointed out everything and then say, but. What but is there? If he was really pointing out all their good, then where's the but from? And all of us went to school on the day of conjunction. And as the phrase before to the phrase after. Or gives you a choice. But connects the phrase. It gives you a full mindset of where they were going. He says, you did this well, that is, and this here was real good, but God was telling them is that I see how you act, but it ain't real. It's just like I was at a service one night. Now, Rich will remember what I'm talking about. They used to have a service every fifth Sunday called When Singers Meet.
Yes.
And one fifth Sunday night, we were into the service and the praise broke out. And there was a guy sitting in the pew before us. He jumped up like he was really in the spirit with the dancer and stuff. All of a sudden, he just stopped in his dance and took a pose. Somebody was standing next to him taking pictures of him.
Oh, Lord. Let me shut up.
And when we all saw it,
the innocent.
When we all noticed what was going on, we all looked at each other and said, ain't this a shame? He come to church to take motion pictures.
If this is the same service I'm thinking about, he was dancing hard, too. And I don't mean soft. I mean picking him up and putting him down like he was in the spirit. And stop.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know how you – well, who's that that says, and stop? One of them issues. I can't remember who it was. One of them groups that used to do that, stop on a dime.
But
I just couldn't believe it.
When I look into this text tonight, God was – I really believe God was pointing at the them. You know how to do church.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows if that ain't 2022, just stepped out of 21 into 22. And I'm sad to say we got a lot of folk know how to do, I ain't even going to call it church. They know how to do activity. They know how to follow the format.
It's like I said earlier. Apostle, God ain't looking for activity. God's looking for fruit.
That's it.
Well, that's earlier in the program. God's looking for fruit. He's looking for manifested, authentic manifested fruit. Not something that's, he's not looking for the Canaanic sacrifice, the Abelic sacrifice. That's the kind of fruit he's looking for. Stuff that matches up with his word.
Rich, now, we've read all this stuff that they knew how to do in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like today. You can't tell these people today that they ain't real. Man, I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I sing on the choir. I'm on the usher board. But your heart ain't in it.
Not even close.
It's activity. It's not really following God, moving with God. I want everybody to know I do something in this church.
And I'm good at doing it, too.
Thank you. I'm a professional. Watch it. I'm a professional.
You're about to open a new can of worms.
I'm not saved and sanctified. I'm a professional saint.
You about to open a new can of worms there, Apostle.
As long as I'm a part of something in the church, they're all going to think I'm saved.
But Apostle, let's be truthful about this for a moment, okay? The reason we have so many professionals is because we've been seeing so many hypocrites and so many actors for so many years. Mm-hmm. So therefore, because this has been seen, this has become the norm. Let me tell you something. I remember some years ago, gosh, it's been some years. It's been almost about 25, 30 years. I studied relationships. And in every relationship, there has to be a minimum of two variables. There is called a dependent variable and an independent variable. And I have determined that there is an interdependent variable. And I'm going to connect this if you just give me a moment. When babies don't have anyone to teach them, then the babies become dependent variable upon a television. And the television teaches the baby what to say. The television teaches the baby what to do. So you hear a little baby, right, who is watching something, and it reminds them of something they saw on television, and then all of a sudden you hear a baby say, "What the hell?" And then that mother wants to say, "What did you say?" And then want to smack that baby. But all the baby did is repeat what it had learned from the independent variable being that television. Saying that to
That's
say
right.
this, that church has become so babyfied. God, I want to say this the right way. Please forgive me. I want to say the right way. They become so babyfied that they've been looking at clones. They've been looking at actors. They've been looking
wow.
at folk who's been pretending for the longest time. So when somebody stands up and says, "Who stole Ebola for Corolla?" That's what they think they're supposed to do. When somebody stands up and falls out because somebody prayed for them, they think that's what they're supposed to do. When someone gets up and holds on to the back of a chair or a pew and begins to make their feet do fancy footwork, that's what they believe they're supposed to do, because they are now being the dependent variables on the independent variables that are showing them things. And so that's what we have in our local assembly. And in fact, if you want to be truthful, you really can't blame them, because Paul says this in so many words when he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But unfortunately, because babies don't know no different, what they do is they just follow because that's the leader. They follow because that's the one doing it. They follow because that's what looks like to be done. You can see little children now. That you can see it all over the internet. Little children who are 3, 4, 5 years old, and they're acting like their parent. They're acting like somebody, "Ooh, the blood of Jesus, and la 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 la, and the devil with it," and all of this and that. Why? Because they become dependent variables on those independent variables that are showing them things. That is what is happening. And this is why we have a big problem in the body of Christ. I'm going to close my mouth after this. The reason we have a problem in the body of Christ is because we have a lot of children of God. And that is an issue. Because why? It's okay to be a child of God. A child of God tells us that you're saved. But that's all it tells us. But you haven't become a son or a daughter of Zion. A son of God or a daughter of Zion. Someone who has matured into a place that they know what is required of them, because they have developed a relationship that has taught them responsibility so that they can be a reflection of who God is and what God wants. And until we get sons and daughters, we're going to have to keep cleaning up the mess of babies.
Well, that about sums
My
it
God.
Up.
So listen, let me say this. Let me say this. I concur with Apostle Whitlow, but let me share this with you. And it has to deal with backsliding as well. There is a video that went viral of a prophet praying for a young lady at the altar. And he told her, "If you're going to lock your knees, why did you come up to this altar to get prayed for?" Now, I have a problem with that, and let me tell you why. It's the formality that every time somebody gets prayed for, they're supposed to go out in the spirit. Where is that in the Bible?
It's not. See, I'm going
to
share
supposed
something
to, every time
me,
you touch me. Well, hold on.
All
right. So when you touch me, I'm supposed to fall down. I know 10 times out of 10, and I'm speaking from experience, I know two apostles that will knock you down. And when the lawsuit mm-hmm. came, they wanted everybody in the church to say, tell them I didn't do that. But you did.
But you did.
So that young lady could have very well had a relationship with God, but because of what he did to her, took her to a backslidden state because of his action.
Can I'll share something with you where the concept comes from. If you recall in the book of Acts, where Paul, there was a time when Peter passed by some of the saints, and his very shadow
mm-hmm.
brought about healing. Some in that mm-hmm. instance fell out in the spirit, Paul with handkerchiefs. They're trying to reenact what the apostles of old did. The difference between that and then, and I said this maybe a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, there were two instances. If you read the book of Acts, I can't remember exactly chapter and verse. Give me a minute or two. Pull this truck over. I'll pull it up for you. I can't get it right now because I'm in the middle of trying to fight off traffic. Anyway, the bottom line is simply this. That's where the base concept comes from. And the difference is there was power, real power in those days. There was a real anointing flowing in those days. Folk like to put on a show, and Apostle Whitlow said it very, very plainly. Babies trying to be grown. Seven sons of Sceva meant something totally different. I don't even know if they was even saved. All I know was they stepped in the wrong place at the right time and got their tails whooped. And there's a lot of people about to see that. You're going to see that in the days to come. Folk who are going to defy the anointing of God, trying to puff their little chest up out there and trying to be something they're not, and it's going to backfire on them. And what are they going to do when they get chased out of the church by one of them little demon spirits? What are they going to do? The bottom line is we understand what backsliding is, but we're not understanding the give me the right word here, somebody. Somebody that's what's the word I'm looking for? When you have byproduct of what you are. Is byproduct the right word? No, that's not the right word. Help me think. The symptoms. They're not recognizing the symptoms of backslidden, of being in a backslidden condition. Oh, you saved. You love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. But the problem is your disobedience is causing distance between you and your God. And that's really what's going on.
Really, really, they don't understand the severity of what's happening.
I agree.
Even in this out. Look at, and I'm not talking about this last variant that just happened, because even before the pandemic came, look at how folk were backsliding from church.
Mm-hmm.
We can't blame, what the pandemic has done has finally given them the right to say, all I got to do is stay home and watch the Zoom. I wish some of these pastors would take Zoom and blow it up, because the only way you're going to find out who really loves the Lord, take them off of Zoom. And say, we're going back in the house. We're going to follow the CDC, and we're going to take it off of Zoom, off of Facebook. You will find out that most of the congregation is not coming back to church. I ain't talking about the variants. I'm talking about their spirit.
Uh-huh.
There was a spirit of backsliding coming over the church before the epidemic ever came. It just helped folks to be bold enough to take the step back that they were already taking.
I agree. One thing you got to say to that also, And whether they take the, and I'll say this, I agree with most of what you said, but the one part, keep the Zoom. But the issue here, again, you find the reality of an individual's sincerity in their walk with the Lord. It comes right to the surface. I've got people, I'm going to say it, I'm sorry, you know, and if they listening, I'm talking about you. I got folk right now, part of our congregation, part of the congregation. Let me get my words right. They'd stay home and go on and watch the Zoom feed. They're live and they're with us in service while we're live, but is there a problem with you coming to service? I'm just asking. Apostasy is right there. The backsliding spirit comes first, and then the spirit of apostasy. They're like lockstep and key together. Now you got folk trying to say, well, I don't need to be in church. Let's just go ahead and violate the scriptures found in Hebrews 10:25, which says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Let's just go ahead and violate scripture. I don't need to be in church. Excuse me, you got gifts and talents, and God has given these gifts and talents and abilities to you so that you could, A, number one, minister to the body of Christ, and number two, cultivate what God has given you so that you could reach the lost in what you're doing. But now we've cut out the middleman. We ain't got to go to church. So we can clearly see how the spirit of the backsliding spirit makes its way into church. And like you said earlier, in the scriptures, they know how to do a lot of stuff. They know how to walk right. They know how to talk right. They know how to sound right. They will put on a show that would win them an Academy Award. Seek a Messiah, he shall come on a Honda. Okay, I ain't got no issues with you. Here's where I have an issue with you at. When it comes down, oh, I ain't got to stop. It's a green light. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm driving. And when my Easy Pass tells me I got a green light because they've already screened my load, I got to go. I am not staying. Anyway, getting back to what I'm saying, truth be told, a lot of us, and I'm saying a lot of us, myself included, at some point, no, let me speak for myself. Maybe I'm the only one that felt like this. There was a point, even as a pastor, when I'm saying, what's the use of going on Zoom? What's the purpose of going on Zoom? What's the purpose of me having service? Ain't nobody listening. And that ain't nothing but the enemy talking. But we go ahead and we press forth in faith anyway. I got to remember, I'm a planter. Somebody else is watering. But God has to give the increase. I cannot become discouraged. I can't fret myself over evildoers. I can't be overly concerned except in the area of salvation with how people respond. When my life is over, I need to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't need to hear, well, you did this, that, and the other, but you failed to do this. If I hear a button there, that tells you right now I'm getting ready to become part of a spiritual barbecue, and I don't want to be part of a spiritual barbecue. I don't know about none of y'all. I ain't trying to be in the barbecue.
Okay.
That's going to heaven.
Let's look at this. When he gets finished pointing out all their religiosity, he said, but, watch this now, but you left.
Yes.
Your first love. You know how to do a lot, but the real deal is, you left your first love. You're not where you think you are. And your church may be growing, but it's growing because people know you as a leader is sleeping with the usher.
Mm-mm.
They know that the deacon got away, but he goes over to the game house and ain't nothing being said from the pulpit. Because if you reveal sin for him, you got to reveal it for yourself. You got to reveal it for the next person. And you got to talk about every sin that's going on.
Amen.
Well, Apostle, I want to attack that for a moment. Because you're saying something, and it gets my attention. And I want you to hear me as I say this. Notice the scripture says you have left your first love.
Yep.
Well, let's speak in modern day terms. Why does a person leave their love? Because they get tired of waiting for something that they want, that they think is never going to come. So what they feel is that they'll get it from elsewhere if they go elsewhere. So I really feel that that is one of the things that has happened in the body of Christ, because people feel that God has denied them, or that God has abandoned them, or God has not kept his promise to them. So therefore, they say, well, God must not love me. Now, please do be mindful, this is a trick of the enemy. But
yes,
in their mindset, what, you know what, God ain't going to do it, because I've been waiting for this for 8 months. I've been waiting on this for 2 years. And so I've been praying, and God ain't done it. Therefore, you know what, it don't make no sense for me to keep on. It's just like a person who plays the lottery, okay, and they play, and they put in for the Mega Million. They put in for Powerball, and every time they put in, they find out that they're off by two numbers or three numbers, and they've been doing it for years, and all of a sudden, right, it's wrong, and they get tired. They're like, you know what, I ain't going to ever win, so let me give it up. And so that's why they don't win. I ain't telling nobody to play either. I ain't telling nobody to play. But if you do, give me the tie. But I ain't telling nobody to play. But what I'm saying is, because they get tired of waiting, they say, you know what, I'll be better off if I can go elsewhere and get what I'm looking for. And this is why the Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication, make your request known to God. So go back to God and say, God, I spoke to you about this before. Go back to God. God, I talked to you about this before. Go back to God. But you feel that because God hasn't done it, that you talking and you're becoming blue in the face, so apparently God ain't going to do it. That, again, is a trick from the enemy. Why? Because the enemy does not want you to have an authentic relationship with the Lord.
Can we attach something else to that, Apostle Whitlow? Think about this, too. They've been waiting 8 months. They've been waiting 2 years. They've been waiting 4 years, however long they've been waiting. Here's my question to the individual listening. Have you done what God asked you to do? See, too many times we want to bypass the assignment given to us to get to that which we're supposed to be assigned to. Now, I'm sorry. Let me use the Garden of Eden expression. You can experience a mist in the garden, but you will not experience the overflow until your obedience has been fulfilled. And you become distraught, and you become disappointed, and you decide that God ain't going to do it. You never even look at the very fact that you did not do what you were supposed to do. So how are you going to turn around and get mad with God, get upset with God, and be disturbed because God ain't moving like you want him to move, when the truth of the matter is you never fulfilled what God called you to do? How do you do that? And then next thing you know, you're backslidden because of your little attitude. Mini Kane, that's what I'm going to call you. You listening right now. Don't touch that dial. I'm calling you Mini Kane. You mad because you gave God a second-hand offering, because you gave God your leftovers, because you gave God your behind a kiss, and now you upset, and now you've gone to a backslidden state because you mad. I'm sorry, Apostle. I didn't mean to get upset like that.
No, that's it, because that's what backsliding is. Offering, after all that God has done, then you offer him your ass and say kiss it.
Mm-hmm.
You walk away from him and say, God, I know you did this and that, but I got to go. I got to leave this. I got to get back to what I know. What do you know? That was about to kill you. What you knew?
Mm-hmm. You were working to die.
But now you come over here to life, and you experience life, but all of a sudden, you want to go back to death.
Let's go back to Egypt. That's what they're saying.
He said, but I have against you. You have left me Now, let's look at this now. And for some reason, because I'm getting ready to say it, for some reason, even in Ephesus, they reminded him a lot of the children of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Because what did Israel keep doing? They kept backsliding. God tells them, do this, don't do that. You know, go this way, do that. And then Israel would backslide from God and do their own thing, their own way. That's how the golden calf got at the bottom of the mountain.
Exactly. That's how they started dating women from other tribes or from other countries that were not God-centered.
But see, they were saying, thank God for these old big breasts, big behind women. You know they were black. Hallelujah.
You already know that.
Thank God for these old wide hips here. I can hold on to her better than that. I want y'all to know that. Backsliding brings a lot of problems.
Oh, my God.
And all this backsliding we got in the church, God is looking, saying, but where's our relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Just like you, Rich, God is saying, what happened to our me time every afternoon when I would come and talk to you? Some people don't even have a prayer time no more.
No. And those that do have a prayer time come in haphazard and somewhat. You know, well, God, here I am again. What you want?
Yeah,
that's
but I'm not
crazy.
Even, I'm not even talking about in the church. You used to have a personal. Some people even used to make a little sub altar in their house.
Mm-hmm.
They had a spot in the house where they go pray and all this. You don't even hear folks talk about family prayer no more, personal prayer.
Uh-uh.
I was laying in my prayer spot at the house. You don't hear nothing mm-hmm. like that no more. But you have
very
left
real.
Your first love. He didn't say that you left a love. He said you left your first love.
My
and
God.
That's what God is looking for. That's the relationship he's looking for, where he is everything.
Restoration. He's looking for it.
So somebody thought she was crazy. One of the girls got up in our testimony service a few years ago. She said, do y'all know God has really been working on me? She said, the Lord got me to the place now that where I get up in the morning and ask God, what should I put on? So, bro, she was
nothing
crazy.
Wrong with that.
But I had not experienced that. I woke up on several mornings, had to ask God that. But this one particular morning, I woke up. I was headed to a meeting. I said, Lord, I will put this here on. And I would tell you, I was just about dressed. And the Lord said to me, no, take that off and put on this suit right here. It matched the shirt and tie that I already had on. He said, no, you take that suit off and put this here suit on and go ahead to the meeting. I tell y'all, no lie. When I got to the meeting, every man in there had a black suit on. That's what the Lord told me to put on.
See? There you go.
I wanted to wear my sky blue suit. I'm going to look nice. You know? But the Lord said, take that off and put on your black suit. When I got that, every male preacher had on a black suit.
Mm-hmm.
I looked like a nut.
You felt like one, too.
Listen to you. There was no email. There was no email that went out and said, you know, we want everybody to wear black or whatever. But when I got there, that was the color of the day.
My goodness.
So what the Lord told me to put on, it was in sync. What am I saying? We need to stop backsliding and get our dependency back in God's hands.
Amen.
We testify and claim he's my all in all, is he? He's all I got, is he?
Is he?
What's that song Vicky Wines was singing? Long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Well, why are you trying to get married if you don't need nobody else?
Oh, Lord, I'm going to let that
why
go.
Why are you always hanging out with the saints at the diner if you don't need nobody else? Go on home and
I'm
pray,
let that go.
Read your Bible, and lay your Bible on your chest and go to sleep.
I'm going to let that go.
We say things that we really don't mean.
I'm going to let that go.
That's what goes on. We sing it. We say it. It becomes cliche.
Well, Apostle, it is the bottom of the hour. I don't know if you want
to
keep going or what.
We didn't even get to the second part. Lord have mercy. Really, my hour is in the last hour, but I'm going to take this bottom, and we're going to close it out and do it back in next week. Amen. Albert done showed up and said, you've been very, very naughty. Now we cannot finish what we have started because you just acted up so bad. We can't tell you the end. What you're going to have to do is tune in the next Tuesday at 10 o'clock and get the rest of what we're going to say by the Spirit of God. And whatever you do, don't let God say, but you left your first love. All right, everybody, give them a good night. Amen. Let's start with Apostle Flight. Amen. Say good night if you ain't already said good night to us.
She already said good night.
Look like she already said good night, Dan.
It sounded like it.
It done went all silent right over there in the Peach State.
Give a good night. I'm so sorry. I didn't even call your name tonight. Lord Jesus.
You guys always forget about me, but it's okay.
Oh, my goodness. We have no pacifiers for you tonight.
Wah, 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 wah. But I love the discussion on the – and then your last statement about that song, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need anyone else. That's not true because we're called to love one another. If we didn't need each other, why would God make that the second commandment to love one another? So I really believe we do need each other because it says also in 1 John chapter 4 that if you hate your brother and you say you love God, you don't know God and you're a liar. So you have to need each other to love on each other, right? Right. So I am in agreement about we do need each other. I used to be, because I was guilty. I used to say, I don't need nobody, I just got God. That's not true. Mm-hmm. That's what the devil wants you to be, in isolation. Isolation is a place where he will mess up your mind because you don't have anyone to pray for you because you're thinking that you can do all this by yourself. But we can't do this by ourselves. We need each other. So
Dr.
great
Robinson
great
with knockout punches. Y'all hear this?
She
Dr. Robinson throwing knockout. Throwing heavy punches.
She comes in after hearing that kaboom.
I love it.
That was really good. I was like, you guys going on it tonight. It's like, Because the funny thing is, that's what my pastor talked on as I was listening to him on the YouTube. Like, oh, yeah, that is so true. Rededication, because this COVID stuff is, something. I would never think that COVID would make me more sick than the chemo. Chemo only knocked me out for a couple of days. But it's
you know
good.
What, y'all? I know we're over time, but I can't leave it like that. I'm going to let Whitlow say something about it real quick because the bottom of this story told him you lost your, you left your first love. He said the word that you don't hear too much now in church.
Oh, here we go. The big R.
He said repent.
That's all you got to do. We live a repentant lifestyle.
I want to tell somebody, maybe all of us preachers need to talk to God. Because when you read the Bible, there's only been one message from the days of Noah all the way through the scripture, and that was repent.
That's right. That's right. That is exactly true.
I have not heard any other message in the Bible except for repent.
And he's been saying it from day one, from the time man fell to this present
point. Maybe we need to get back to preaching what God got.
Can I share something? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's the one word. That's the word that he says. That's what he said, I have against you. And he said, I need you to repent. He says, it's that simple. He says, repent, or I'm going to remove that candlestick out of this place. He says, repent, do thy first works, or else I'm going to come to thee quickly. We don't have time to deal with that tonight, so we're going to do that for another time. Anyway, but I will say this. Michael Jackson didn't invent the moonwalk. Nope, because somebody was walking on the moon long before. He didn't invent the backslide because people have been backsliding for years. But the good thing is that God is yet waiting with his arms wide open to receive you. But the Bible says that this is the acceptable time or the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, God is still taking applicants for who want to be saved. I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to say, go with God, and he will, and he will go with you.
All right, Bishop.
All right. Real quick, God did a triple bypass on every one of you that's listening to me today. You bypassed the hospital, most of you. You bypass the morgue, many of you, and you bypass the grave if you could still hear me. That means you still have opportunity and chance. Like that R word that just came up, you left your first love, repent. I'm going to leave it right there.
And I'm just going to say to you tonight, if you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. God has much more for you ahead. God bless you. Good night. Shalom, shalom. Kimmy Kim, let it turn. Let it burn. Let it play.
It was your love that lifted me. 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 When I couldn't take it. When I could make it, oh, when I could take it, yes, when I can make it, oh, what love is, what peace, yes, what joy he gives. Thinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful. but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the water. He lifted me. What love has set me free?